Good morning, welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we are going to be going through a journey of Mizmor Mem Tes, the 49th Psalm of the Book of Tehillim. This is a very heavy psalm, and it really deals with some very crucial, very heavy, very intense issues about death, about the human condition, about immortality. Let's take a look at it in its pieces. It is made up of 21 psukim in overview, and has three major sections. The first line is its koteves, its inscription, which reads Lamnatzech Livnei Korach Mizmor. This is a for the conductor, so the sons of Korach, a psalm. It should be noted that this is the seventh and last of the group of the Bnei Korach Mizmorim, which run from Mem Beis through Mem Tes, and we'll see how it fits into the general bigger scope pictures that the Bnei Korach had the prophecies to see or sing, as some of the Mefarshim explain. Psukim Beis to Hey are actually an introduction, and in this introduction, it seems to be a globalization of the theme, which is Shimu Zois Kol Amim Ha'azinu Kol Yoshvei Choled. Everybody listen to this. Gam Bnei Adam, Gam Bnei Ish, Yachad, Oshir Revyon. Everybody's got to listen to what this what I'm about to spin and the mashal I'm about to say. Then the three sections follow. The first section, Vav to Yud Aleph, 6 to 11, follows about the money that does not save a person from ultimate death. Then there is Psukim Yud Beis to Tes Vav, 12 to 15, which despite the delusions of the wealthy, human and animals are really the same at death. Meaning it's not that it's not just that money won't save you from death, it's that really in the end of the day there's very little to differentiate between the rotting mammal, whether it be human or whether it be primate, so more rudimentary primate. And finally, Tes Zion to Chof Aleph, the last section of 16 to 21, it describes how wealth will not help after death as well. So if you think about it in three sequential sections, the first is how money and power does not prevent death, and at death, there's very little that differentiates a human and an animal, and finally, how it won't help after death either. Let's try to look at the actual themes over here. This mizmor is a universal mizmor, which means to say that it's not something unique to Israel. It's something about the state of the human nature, which is why he starts off with this elaborate introduction, which is spinning this mashal, spinning atel mashal azni eftach bechinor chidasi. He is now going to tell us this riddle or this mashal, this parable for all human beings to be listening. What is so grand? What is that we need to know? So he goes on to talk about how he's going to explore the theme of the immortality of the soul. And he speaks to those who are struggling to discover immortality. The way that Ibn Ezra puts it very eloquently is he says, Zeh mizmor hu nichbad me'or. It is a very honored mizmor. This is very respected mizmor. Ki yesh boi mefurash or ha'olam haba v'nishmas ha'chachma ha'chachma shelo tamuz. He talks about how it talks about the light of the world to come and the soul of the human being that won't die, which has a part of it. Meaning, because inside every human being there's a neshama, there's a soul, that neshama in a certain sense comes from this worldly matter, which will therefore allow the person to continue after death, for the rest of the physical matter will ultimately biodegrade. He first starts by addressing the richer people who think their riches will protect them from death, and he points out, V'chi od lo netzach lo yirei ha-shachas, you think you're going to live eternally and never see the shachas, the pits or the netherworld? Ki rei chachom yamus lo yachad k'sil v'var yovedu. Everybody's going to die, wise or foolish alike. They're all ending up in the same cemetery. That's the first step. Then he turns to address those who think they can perhaps sustain themselves and create immortality through the monuments, the buildings they donate, the mausoleums they place above their graves. And he says, Kirbom batem lo elamish knosom lo dor vador kor bishmosom alei adamos. You know, they call their names, these people, and all kinds of structures on this earth. But you know what? At the end of the day, when people die, they're just like animals when they die. It's a physical process, and they all end up biodegrading in the same earth. So it doesn't make a difference where your name is. And finally, he turns out to point out that since wealth won't help after death, one of the meanings of the Meshorer that the narrator arrives at is that we should really enjoy the blessings of life here. Because if it's not going to mean much after death, then we should appreciate every single day and the blessing it brings. As he says in Pasuk Yotes, Ki nafsho b'chayav yovorech v'yadocha ki se tivlach, that a person in his soul, in his life, will find blessing and thank Hashem for the goodness he has. Meaning almost a similar conclusion that Kohelet says, it is not drink and be merry for tomorrow we die, it's rather know that every moment is a blessing and is meant to be utilized as opposed to trying to store up to be able to escape death, which is not the point of it. One of the major themes in this is the role of the infinite versus the finite. The way that means to say is that a person can put their trust in physical assets, or they can place their trust in Elohim, in Hashem, and how physical assets, as with anything else in this world, which is bound by this world, is subject to entropy. It slowly biodegrades. It slowly reduces into nothingness. Whereas HaKadosh Baruch Hu is eternal, the spiritual world is eternal, attaching oneself to that, establishing what one's soul really is, will allow a person to have an eternal existence afterwards. The way the Malbim rewords this very powerfully in his introduction is that people sometimes make the mistake, Ki achlifu ha'olam ha'omeid ba'oveid. A person may sometimes switch the standing world with the destroyed world, haruchani, the spiritual, Begashmi, with the physical, hanikle bahanichbad, the embarrassed or the disgraced one with the honored one, v'chi nimshelu kabames nidmu. And when a person does that, when a person makes that miscalculation, they aren't even willing to try to take Pascal's wager at the very basic, then you know what? Then they're very much like animals. I think the psukim which really capture this most in this mizmor are towards the end, where it says, Al tire ki yashir ish v'chir be kavod beisai. Don't worry when you see a person who's getting a lot of assets, who's becoming very powerful. Ki lo v'mosai yikach hakol yored acharov kavodai. When such a person does, they don't take any of it with them. The story is told about Sir Moses Montefiore, who was Montefiore, who was a tremendous influence in the world. He was very famous. He was a close friend of Queen Victoria in Victorian England. He built the Mishkanot She'ananim, and the area of Yemin Moshe outside the old city in the times when it was just beginning to expand Jerusalem. He made an extremely smart career move by marrying a Rothschild, which allowed him to retire at the age of 40. And he lived to 101. Which was a very significant age in those days. He was the board of the deputies, the sheriff of London, and there were a number of editorials written about him, specifically at his 99th and 100th birthday. He was really a Kiddush Hashem, a person who changed the world, a person who was respected in all aspects of the world. And once a journalist asked him, he said, "Tell me, Sir Moses, what are you worth?" So he threw out a figure, and the questioner said, "Look, you know, that doesn't. I know you're worth much, much more than that." And his response was, and these are the words: "You didn't ask me how much I own, you asked me what I'm worth. So I gave you the amount that I gave to tzedakah, to charity this year, because we are all worth what we're willing to share with others." What really lasts? What really, really lasts? That's one of the themes of this mizmor. The imagery in this mizmor, just a worthwhile knowing this, is a parable, which means to say that the words used to describe the netherworld, like sheep to the slaughter, like Sheol, the grave, the pit, these words are perhaps the Meshorer explaining it in the terminology of the human beings he's speaking to. Not that the Meshorer believes that this is what it actually looks like. He's talking in the terminology of people who are finitely bound, just to appreciate this, as the Dat Mikra points out. In terms of events behind this Mizmor, it's very hard to pin down a specific event, although it is interesting that the Mizmor, the Midrash Tehillim in Perek Yud Zayin actually notes this Mizmor might be speaking to Nebuchadnezzar, and Evil Muradach and Belshazzar, who are the kings who really took a stand against Israel, against the Jews, and therefore when it's talking about Hazinu Kol Yoshvei Chaled, listen to all these inhabitants of the earth. When he's describing that, he's essentially it may actually be referring to these oppressors of Israel, and that you ultimately, O oppressors, will not have longevity. That could be one way of looking at it, but it seems to be much more broad than specific people, as most of the Mefarshim adopt. In terms of the places that in our tefillah that this appears, this should be, unfortunately, known to us, because this is the mizmor which is customary to say at a shiva house after the davening, both in the morning and in the evening or afternoon, depending on the nusach. It is also the Shir Shel Yom of the Eidrut Mizrach on the Yom Chof Vav, the 26th day of the month. It is interesting to notice that when it is said in the house of mourning is specifically because it actually brings about humbling thoughts. It is a very humbling mizmor. I would add that it's really worthwhile reading this through slowly and just appreciating the words. Without going to any mefarshim, just appreciating the words and the power and the intensity of this mizmor on its own grounds. Just a couple psukim in the spotlight, and we'll close with this today. Pasuk Beis, when it says, Shimu Zois, Kol Ha'amim, listen to this, all nations. What is the this? What is the Zos? So obviously it refers to the rest of the Mizmor. But the Midrash does insert in over here that it can be paralleled to the idea of the Zos HaTorah. This is the Torah. Meaning to say, what is it that gives us immortality? What is it that gives us longevity? What is it which promises us destiny? Is Zos. Is when we adhere to the Torah. The more we are bodily aware, the more we invest in ourselves in a finite world which disappears, the more our world will disappear with it. The more we invest in ourselves in something which is eternal, the Ratzon Hashem, the will of Hashem, we will have something at the end of the day. That's what the Mizmor seems to be saying. Finally, just a very beautiful point on Pasuk Yud Gimel. It says, V'adam bikor bal yolin, Nimshal Kabahemois Nidmu, which actually appears in a different permutation towards the end of the of this as well. But what the Pasuk actually means is translated as that but a man who cannot lie down with that which is precious is likened to the beasts who are cut off. Well, the Shas Emes in Parshas Vayetze quotes Rav Simcha Bunim of Peshischa. This is a remarkable insight. He says, let's look at the sentence carefully. V'adam bikar. Let's say a person has an epiphany. They have a moment of perspective. They see grandeur. They understand what it's all about. Bal yolin. But they don't go to sleep with it. Meaning to say, it was an experience. They get the t-shirt. They write the hashtag. They post on social media. They go to sleep. They burp it off. They wake up the next morning. They're back to regular. A person who lives that kind of life, bal yolin, doesn't sleep with the ideas that they experienced. They don't live in the world of ideas. They live in the world of experience. Then nimshal kabeimas nidmu. That kind of person is much like an animal that goes to its food trough every day and doesn't think too much about its existence. What this mizmor is beckoning the reader to, is beckoning the reader to look beyond the physical, to look beyond the everyday, to look beyond the simple finite and see gleaming through the infinite which allows a person eternality. In the meantime, have a wonderful, meaningful day.